Paddy dear, and did ya hear the news that's going round? On the head of bold Ned Kelly, they have placed £2,000 for Byrne, Steve Hart and Dan. £2,000 more they'd give, but if the price were double, sure the Kelly boys would live. It was in November 78 when the Kelly gang came down, just after shooting Kennedy at Fame Euroa town. Blood horses they all rode upon with revolvers in their hands. They took the township by surprise and gold was their demand. Into the bank Ned Kelly walked to bail up, he did say, unlock your safes, hand out your cash, be quick, do not delay. Without a murmur they obeyed the robbers' bold command. £10,000 in silver and gold they gave into his hand. Out with all your firearms, the audacious robber said, hand out all your cartridges or a bullet through your head. Your wives and children must come and make them look alive. Get into these conveyances, we'll take them for a drive. Yes, they drove them to a station about 5 miles away, where 20 men already had been bailed up all that day. A hawker shared their fate, as everybody knows. He came in handy to the gang, fitting them out with clothes. They destroyed communication by cutting down the wire, and of their left-off clothing they made a small bonfire. Throughout the whole affair, me boys, they never fired a shot, and the way they work was splendid and they'll never be forgot. It's hard to think such plucky hearts in crime should be employed, but for police and prosecution, sure they've been much annoyed. Revenge is sweet, and in the bush they can defy the law. Such stinking up and plunder and colonials never saw. Those Kellys are the devil, and they've made another rise, this time to cross the Billabong Creek and Morgan's ancient beat. They've robbed the banks of thousands, and in safety did retreat. Yes, they rode into Geraldine at 12 o'clock one night. They roused the police from off their beds, who were in a hell of a fright. They took them in their nightshirts, though I'm afraid to tell. They covered them with revolvers and they locked them in a cell. They then acquainted the women folk that they intended to stay and take possession of the town until the following day. They fed their horses in the stall without the slightest fear, and went to rest their weary limbs till daylight did appear. So next morning, being Sunday, of course they must be good. They dress themselves in troopers' clothes and Neddy chops some wood. And no one there expecting them for troopers as they passed. And Dan, the most religious, took the troopers' wives to mass. They spent the day most pleasantly with plenty of good cheer, with beef, steaks and onions, tomato sauce and beer. The ladies in attention indulged in pleasant talk, and just to ease the troopers' minds, they took them for a walk. So on Monday morning early, still masters of the ground, they took their horses to the forge and had them shod all round. Their packs were brought and mounted, their plans laid out so well. In company with the Bobbies, they stuck up the Royal Hotel. Sure, they bailed up all the servants and locked them in the room, saying, "Do as we do bid you, or death will be your doom." A Chinese cook, "No, Sammy," cried, "No, and not want to fear." But they brought him to his senses with a lifting under the ear. Yes, they shouted for all hands, and they paid for all they drank. Then two of them remained in charge, and two went to the bank. The manager could not be found, so Kelly in great wrath searched high and low and found him in his bath. But where there now is a mystery the Bobbies cannot tell, and until I hear from them again, I bid yous all farewell.